Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Walking in newness of life. What does that mean? Now, we have covered about baptism. And baptism, we are told, that we, once we have had the sacrifice of Jesus Christ applied to us for the forgiveness of our sins, and we have received the Holy Spirit with the laying on of hands, then we are to walk in newness of life. That's what we're told in Romans 6. But let's come here to 1 Peter, the first chapter, and explain to us exactly what God is doing and how he is doing it. Chapter 1, verse 3, Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again." Now that's a key thing to understand, because when you came into existence, you were begotten in the womb of your mother. That's the first begettal. Receiving the Holy Spirit is the second begettal, and that is a spiritual begettal from God the Father. That's why he says, has begotten us again. Now, begotten is really quite a thing to understand, because we know the process of begetting for human life. And the process is very similar with the Holy Spirit. So let's come to 1 John 3 and verse 9. And this also tells us how we're to live, because after baptism, we can't go back and live the way that we were, because that's living in sin. And we're not to continue living in sin. And you know that sin is the transgression of the law, which means the commandments of God. Now here in 1 John 3 and verse 9, it says, "Everyone who has been begotten by God," now that's God the Father, "does not practice sin." No, you don't practice it. Doesn't say you won't sin. But you can't be living in sin. And when you do sin, you repent. And that's what the grace of God is all about. Now let's continue on in verse 9. "Everyone who has been begotten by God does not practice sin, because his seed begettal." Now the Greek word for seed is sperma. Sound like something about human conception? Yes, indeed. And this is spiritual conception, the same thing. The Spirit of God unites with the spirit of man. And that begins the road of conversion by the grace of God. Because his seed of begettal is dwelling within him, and he is not able to practice sin because he has been begotten by God. Now that's a phenomenal thing, isn't it? Having the Holy Spirit of God. Now when you're in the world, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You have what is called the spirit of man. But now the Holy Spirit within us is to help us, to lead us, to motivate us, so that we live the way God wants us to. Now, if you don't have our booklet, what do you mean born again and born of God? So you've been begotten once, now you're begotten the second time spiritually for what? To become a son or daughter of God. So let's come back here to 1 Peter, the first chapter. Now here's what God is going to give us. Something so great and fantastic and marvelous, but we have to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding of it by loving God and keeping His commandments and doing the things that please Him. So here in verse 4 it says, unto an inheritance incorruptible, eternal life. Now stop and contemplate that. Eternal life. And not having human nature anymore. And living with God. Now we'll see what we need to do in just a bit here. An undefiled and unfading reserved in heaven for us. Now, this also tells us what? No one goes to heaven. When you receive the Spirit of God, you're still on earth. And when you die, you are buried, and you, like all the rest of the saints, are waiting for the resurrection when Jesus returns. Nowhere does the Bible say when you die, you go to heaven. But how many people believe that? See? Now that's why we have church at home. So you can understand that what's being taught out there, 90% of it is the traditions of men.
As the Blessed Virgin was carried out of Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church, so was a tradition over 100 years old. Opening with a Mass celebrated by special guest Archbishop Bernardito Auza, the Pope's representative to the UN.
Gave it to his disciples.
A tradition started by their parents when they were young, one they've kept as a part of their life.
It's a tradition, and we do dwell on tradition. We live on tradition.
The church's pastor, Monsignor Jamie Gigantiello, explaining it's normal in this tight-knit community.
It keeps the parish alive, but it's also a time for many people to come back to Brooklyn, to come back to the neighborhood, to their parish, and to celebrate our faith and the traditions that we were brought up with.
Now, nowhere will the traditions of men lead you to true salvation in God. Only the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the truth of God. Now notice, who are being safeguarded by the power of God, which is His Spirit, through faith, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. That's when the resurrection takes place. Now let's come to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. Let's see something that's very important for us to understand, which is this. God's way, God's plan, God's salvation is so great that it's very difficult to grasp the fullness of it. That's why we are to grow in grace and knowledge. But if we love God and keep His commandments, we'll make it. Verse 9, but according as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him, which Jesus will bring with Him. But here's why you have the Holy Spirit of God when you're baptized. Because this is going to lead you in a brand new way of life, a brand new way of thinking. And your whole life will be gradually transformed from the way that you were before baptism to conversion. Now, verse 10, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Because as you grow in grace and knowledge, you will learn more and more and more. And it is so great. That's why we have so much material. That's why we have our other website, truthofgod.org. So you can learn of the deep things of God. They're there. And God wants you to know them. But you have to grow in the basics first, right after baptism. But here's what you are to look forward to. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit, For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Now think about that for a minute. This is why true Christianity is an education unto eternal life. That's why we're told to grow in grace and knowledge. And we will see the things that we need to do so that we can please God. Then he explains something very interesting here in verse 11. For who among men understands the things of man except by the spirit of man which is in him? That's how all human beings understand. They have the spirit of man which gives life to every man and woman, and also gives free moral agency. And the Bible tells us, without the spirit, the body is dead. So the spirit of man is what you have before you're converted. But now that you have repented and been baptized and have received the Holy Spirit of God, now God's Spirit is with you to help you to grow in grace and knowledge and overcome. Continuing now, in the same way also, the things of God no one understands except by the Spirit of God. Now that tells us this. Once you have the Spirit of God, you can learn and know the things of God. Now that's why in this age, we have the whole Bible. And that's why we need to really grasp and understand that this is the greatest gift that God has given all mankind. And for you individually. For me individually. Verse 12. Now we have not received the spirit of the world which is out there with Satan the devil. We covered that already. But the spirit that is of God, so that we might know the things graciously given to us by God. Now the next verse tells us why we need to continually study. Because the Word of God tells us everything we need to know in this life about how to grow in grace and knowledge, to develop the character of Christ, to develop the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. Verse 13, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Holy Spirit, in order to communicate spiritual things by spiritual means. But think about this. When you're in the world, and you're educated by the world, and if you get into religion in the world, pretty soon you understand that there are a lot of lies and hypocrisy in Christianity, because it doesn't line up with the Word of God if you read the Word of God. Now, here's the key. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, because they must be spiritually understood, and you must have the Spirit of God to understand. For they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. So that's what you have now, that you may know the things of God. And let's see how we are to conduct our lives. We can't live in the way that we lived before, and we have to live by every word of God. Let's come to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Let's see what we are to do. Let's look at our life right now, what we were doing, and all the sins that we were walking in. And now those who have been forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ and baptism and receiving of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, however, we're still living in the world, correct? Yes, indeed. So notice how we are to live. We're not to go back and do the same thing. We are not to think once saved, always saved. Because salvation, as we have seen, is a process. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Now this also tells us how we live in the world, but we're not of the world. And how, while still living in the world, we come out of this world, which means we come out of the way of living in the world the way that the world does, and the way that false Christianity does. Because when you get into understanding the Bible, your mind is going to be open to truth, and you are going to see how many false things that have been taught that you once believed. Here's how we are to live. Verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. We're to live in the world and be a light to the world, that is true, but not yoked to. That means in league with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and lawlessness have in common? Now, righteousness is what? Keeping the commandments of God. Understanding the word of God. Righteousness. Now, that's why Sabbath is so important. Because this is the day that God has put his presence in, so that we come to him. We're not working on this day. We're not doing our own pleasures on this day, but we are serving him. We are studying the word of God. And on that day, because we do, God gives us understanding that you can't have if you're a Sunday keeper. It's impossible. Because they're spiritually understood, and God does not give his spirit to those who are not keeping his commandments. Now notice, let's read on. And what fellowship does light have with darkness? And darkness is the way of the world. And what union does Christ have with Belial? Now Belial are unfit, unworthy, sinful people. Christ has no union with them. Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? That's why we must believe the word of God. Love the word of God. Love God. Now that doesn't mean that we reject unbelievers. No, we're to be a light. We're to help them. We're to be a witness to them. Or what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? Now, what do you mean the temple of God? Well, let's look at that here in just a minute. And idols. Idols is covered in the second commandment, right? Not to make them, not to bow down to them. And John wrote in 1 John the 5th chapter, beloved, flee idolatry. So you go into any so-called Christian church or Catholic church, what do you see? Idols. How can that be of God? It's not. It's not of God. Now, let's answer the question, what is a temple of God? Now, this may surprise you, but let's come here to 1 Corinthians 3:16. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You want an interesting study? Go through the New Testament and look up 3:16 in all of the rest of the books. Now, a lot of them have to do with Christ, but listen to this. Don't you understand that you are God's temple? Each one of us. A small temple of God, how is that? And that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. Now think about that. God's Spirit is dwelling in you. And how is that? And why is that? This is quite a wonderful thing to understand. Let's come to John 14. Let's see what Jesus said. And this helps us understand, not only do we have the begettal of the Father, but also we have the Spirit of Christ. And this is what gives us conversion, and this is what helps us to understand the Word of God, and helps us to pray, and helps us to study. John 14, verse 21. Now listen carefully. The one who has my commandments and is keeping them. Now these are the words of Jesus Christ, don't forget. That is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me shall be loved by my Father. That's what the Holy Spirit of God does for you. You are loved by God the Father. And that's why we need to love him back with all our heart and mind and soul and being. And that's the whole purpose of conversion. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How does he do that? Does he come and appear to you? No. All of a sudden you have in your life a strong urging to understand about God. That's the beginning of it. And the manifestation of him continues through the Word of God as we go down in time and study and pray. Now notice verse 23. If anyone loves me, so you have to ask yourself the question, do you love Jesus? Do you love God the Father? Notice what it will cause you to do. He will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we together. Remember, we're a temple of God if the Spirit of God dwells in us, right? Yes, indeed. We will come to him and make our abode with him. Now, notice verse 24. Here is the dividing line. And this is why we are not to have those kind of things with unbelievers. Verse 24. The one who does not love me does not keep my words. That's clear. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So now that you're walking in newness of life with the Spirit of God, you can understand these things. That's a great miracle, because the world can't. People can't. Even Christianity in the world is so blinded, they don't understand what they're doing. Now, you need our book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born? You also need the book, Lord, What Should I Do? And also our booklet on grace, so you can understand your relationship with God. Now, as we have covered, you have direct access to God the Father. All you have to do is get on your knees in a quiet, private place and pray, Our Father who is in heaven. And you pray every day. And you walk in the way of God. And your mind is renewed and changed. This is what God wants. This is conversion, and conversion is a process. That's how you walk in newness of life. So go to our other website, truthofgod.org. We have so many things that you can learn on truthofgod.org, going in depth, understanding prophecy, understanding the Bible, and that will really help you a lot. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, This is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.